Well, I don't think that there's a person among us that wouldn't advocate for the 4-day week, right?
Maybe some bosses. What do you mean?
No,
among
even the
us?
Bosses would. Actually, here's the thing. The reason why you don't have a 4-day week is because bosses already do.
Yeah, I know.
Bosses already are like, you guys work 5 days.
Right.
Don't look around on Fridays.
Yeah. But they don't. They want the separation between them and the unwashed, right?
Actually, that's true. I don't like it. Like when minimum wage goes up, I'm like, that's good for you. But then also,
closer.
Oh no.
Anyway, so I get that feeling. I get that feeling.
You feel the squeeze. Ooh, I don't...
Sorry, how much is that a year? Yeah. But that Monday, the Tuesday, or whichever day ends up being the first day back from that long weekend, that's the actual strongest case against the 4-day week.
Why is that?
You don't find that you're brain dead on this day? I find
synapses are firing, buddy.
You were ready to roll today?
100%.
I had my brain gum and everything. It's not working.
No, I was fine. It makes the rest of the week confusing that today's Tuesday, right? Like, it was all messed up. Yeah.
I will admit that is confusing. Mm-hmm. I do guys also get confused, but I'm easily confused.
Mm-hmm. No, I know. That's why the brain gum thing.
Yeah, I know.
You would think the brain gum would help with that.
You would.
Yeah.
That's what it's advertised to do. Actually, that's the worst thing about caffeine. You take it, just gets your brain to be normal.
Right.
And then it's just slowly decreasing. Like, there's no actual increase in function. You're just normal.
I still do get some. Like,
okay,
I would say my
science would disagree with you, but
I know.
Sure. You, tell me, wise one.
My second coffee, I will say, anybody that listens to my show, like, if you notice a difference
no
in personality between me at 6 o'clock and me at 7 o'clock, 7 o'clock is when I have my second coffee.
If you listen to my show, people were like, you have a show?
You're not just a weekly guest on J.D. Bunkus' podcast?
Correct. Everyone knows. News to them.
Hey, big deal.
Fan morning show. Check it out. Yeah. Check it out, listeners of J.D.
Bunkus. Actually, not the rest of the week. I'm not on it.
Well, yeah, then don't do that. Don't even bother. Forget it.
Blair and Barker. I'm playing the role of Jeff
Blair. Oh, it's
cool
that you're doing that. That's cool that you're doing Blair and Barker this week. So anyway, you got all hot and bothered this weekend. I saw your Twitter, and you're like, I'm mad about stuff. And I went, whoa. We're getting mad about stuff during the Jays season. I didn't know we were still doing that. I thought the being mad part was done. And although I still get mad when I lose bets, but they're kind of an easy team to bet on, where if they have any kind of a lead, you immediately bet the other side because that bullpen will show itself eventually.
Before, when it had all its bullpen pieces, it was the second worst.
Yeah, I know.
Now it's like Brendan Little is like the first option.
Which is so crazy because that's, imagine being Eric Swanson where he's still in mop-up duty with all these guys here. And Teoscar Hernandez hit another huge bomb yesterday off of someone amazing too, Aaron Nola. Mm. Just took him deep. I'm watching. I was like, damn.
Yeah, but Adam Mako, part of that deal too.
It's true.
He's lurking. I think he also had
he's
like
hurt.
An injury. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
No, here's the status on all the Blue Jays prospects. Cheater, arms fell off.
Not Jake Bloss. He hasn't pitched yet.
No, I mean the ones before the deadline.
Yeah, hell yeah.
They were either, their arms don't function properly. They can't throw. They actually can't even do the one thing that makes them special because they're all hurt.
Yes.
Or busted for performance enhancing drugs.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. End of list.
Yeah, end of list.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Other than the guys
somehow
that are
they're
the major
26th,
leagues.
Like in Baseball America rankings. I was like, who's behind you?
Some bad teams. Apparently the Astros were. Going into the season.
Yeah, that was actually really funny is I read an article when I was doing the rankings.
Yeah.
I did notice that the Astros had the only one lower, were one of the only ones lower than the Blue Jays. And I went, wait, so we just took their worst guys? That's what you always do with the bad teams. You're like, imagine if all the bad teams combined to make a super team. Could they beat the good team? Mm-hmm. And it turns out, no. Anyway, so back to the Blue Jays. You got all hot and bothered because they walked Aaron Judge.
Yeah, on Saturday, and now this will be the fourth segment.
You've done this?
Yeah, but that's fine.
Oh. Okay, I don't want to do it anymore. I'm over it.
No, I haven't heard your take on it.
Okay.
So on Saturday, against the Yankees, after they took game one of the series, second game of the series, with your opening day starter on the mound, Jose Barrios, and he was only opening day starter because Kevin Gausman was hurt, but he's your opening day starter. He's the guy with the longest contract on the team, I believe. It runs past George Springer's deal. He's your meal ticket from the starting rotation's perspective. Anyway, this is a meaningless wins and losses season from this point forth, we understand. But also, like, you're not punting on games. You wouldn't want somebody in the opposite situation where you needed to beat the Yankees for a playoff spot to punt on a baseball game. You're trying to win each and every day. They're down 4-1. Aaron Judge just hit a home run in the first inning. Second inning, they score two more runs. It's 4-1. The bases are empty. It's two out. John Schneider decides to intentionally walk Aaron Judge, who's having a Barry Bonds-like season. Here's the thing, though. Barry Bonds never got that treatment. It's been more than 50 years that a batter has been intentionally walked with nobody on and two out in the second inning of a baseball game. And the last time it happened is because the team wanted to get to the pitcher who was up next in the second inning. John Schneider did it, presumably, what, to win the game? He thought there was a comeback afoot? Okay, I can get that. You know who disagrees with that being the proper strategy for that? Numbers, like the FanGraphs win probability percentage went down for the Blue Jays after that walk. There was a hit immediately following that. They didn't score. The Yankees didn't at that point, but they're down 4-1 anyways. What you're indicating to everybody is that you don't trust your opening day starter against the best hitter in baseball in a game where the stakes are pretty close to meaningless for you, and you're depriving this is down the list and shouldn't be something that necessarily John Schneider's thinking about in the moment. You're depriving us of the opportunity to see if he can do it again against a capable major league starter, the fun aspect of the baseball game. Secondarily,
that's all I care about, by the way. Just so you know, that's all I care about.
Secondarily, the exact same circumstance presented itself in the fourth inning of the baseball game with the same score, with the same pitcher on the mound, and John Schneider decided to do the opposite thing. He pitched to Aaron Judge. Guess what happened? Jose Berríos got him out because even the great Aaron Judge, having the season he's had, is getting on base a little less, but like less than 50% of the time. He makes an out more than half of the time. There's many reasons why I think you should fire John Schneider. There's many, like so many. I'm not exactly sure what the reasons are that you would keep him. But this season, at the tippy top of that list, I'm putting Saturday's decision, which he, at the end of the game, in his post-game interview, said he made that decision because he just didn't feel like watching Aaron Judge swing the bat. So that's good. You got your manager. Hey, have you ever questioned his autonomy? He told you, it's on me because I get to decide when to intentionally walk Aaron Judge, even in a historic second inning.
It's pretty funny that with the John Schneider question, when you said that, my brain went totally blank.
Yeah.
Like, if I was his lawyer now, and you're like,
defend him.
Yeah, and you said, hey, this guy should be back, I would go, my number one defense is his bullpen this year was horrible. That's it. It's like his bullpen was so bad.
Yeah, there's nothing good. It's just that, like everybody. What was he supposed to do?
What could he do with this team?
The number one defense was like, he knows Vlad. He knows Bo.
Yeah,
he knew the minor league system. Yeah. Okay, so like he's responsible for this Vlad season.
He was responsible
for
playing Kevin Biggio nonstop, who just got DFA'd again.
By the way, put up better numbers in LA than he did with the Blue Jays. Hit an extra home run. Hit three home runs, only two with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, but guess what? He's not really a major leaguer, so
I think he's rosterable at the back end of a mediocre team.
How many guys
can
you say that about?
A lot.
Yeah, exactly. Even
I think he has utility though. Like he can get on base and he can hit the occasional home run. He has positional flexibility.
Sure. I'm fine. Yeah, I guess like again.
Yeah,
the Dodgers.
You're not living and dying
by
Kevin
Biggio. Have you seen the Dodgers lineup? It's like there's like three guys who matter, and then there's the rest of the team is just who? Like that guy? Oh,
I got a lot of hitters.
Jason Hayward's still. They're kind of thin right now, actually. You look at their lineup.
Mookie Betts is coming back at some point.
Yeah, but I don't really.
Gavin Lux has been heating
up. Amazing.
Actually.
The fact that we didn't trade for him is actually kind of crushing. Anyways, back to the Aaron Judge thing. You had a lot of practice with that. You could tell because, you know, you put that rant together nicely. Good job by you. I think that to me, you can actually justify the change in position pretty simply because I can go dumb guy brain. This is how I can defend it, is that I can put my mind in the brain of a dumb guy and say, and a dumb strategy, and I would go, this is kind of, to me, like trying to cool a guy off. He just crushed you. Mm-hmm. You give him one AB where he doesn't get to swing it. You make him go walk, and then later you're like, hey, maybe he's cooled down. You got a heat check. Why not?
You ice him. You iced him.
Honestly,
if that was the explanation, that's not a dumb guy take.
That's what I'm saying.
There's logic behind that.
That's what I'm saying. You iced him.
Okay, that's boy.
Plus,
you can be manager of the Blue Jays.
Not only that.
Sounds like.
Not only do you ice him.
That's the best idea I've heard.
Yeah.
The best explanation I've heard.
Not only do you ice him, You pissed them off a little bit. Did you see the
Juan Soto
makes quote?
Me mad.
Although it was so funny that he went, but then I respect it because no athlete.
No, that's part of the game. Honestly, if it's the eighth inning in a tie game, I would respect
of course.
That. Especially because like, then you'd make the counter. It's the Blue Jays, what are they doing? Yeah. The wins and losses don't matter.
There's actually been multiple moments this season where they've pitched Aaron Judge and I've gone, what are you doing here? Why did you do that? So, I understand the situation that it's in. Number two, though, is the bigger question to me, which is when you're in this season, do you owe anything to the entertainment product? Like, should that actually be a thought?
If that was at home. No, the thought experiment is if that's at home. If you're watching that game at Rogers Center.
Yeah.
And you know it's a lost season, and it's the Yankees.
I don't think anybody wants to see Aaron Judge hit a home run unless it's this.
I disagree. Maybe you want to see him strike out, but you want to see the pitcher-batter confrontation.
That's fair. I'll buy that. I'm not buying the idea. Last year, the only reason that people wanted to see him hit those home runs is because people thought there was money involved.
Oh, there's history on the line, too. He's on pace for 59. Yeah, like, he's almost there.
Yeah, okay.
But he's having a better season.
But I'm saying last year when he was here,
he
was on the precipice of doing it. And remember, what was that guy's name? Joey Hot Dog?
Frankie Lasagna.
Frankie Lasagna, who dropped the ball right in his mitts. Yeah. I prefer Joey Hot Dog. He did have like a silly name.
What gets me is like
Frankie Lasagna, I think is right.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, good job.
Thank you. So we're watching to the end of this Blue Jay season for the young players, and like obviously they're gonna care a lot because they're trying to become major leaguers. But it's like, hey, the veterans packed it in. Like, are we gonna like be on alert for? Hey, how much does George Springer really care about the end of this season? How much does maybe Alejandro Kirk really care about this season?
I think he does actually care a lot because he's actually getting, these two guys are getting to boost their numbers.
Yeah. For the first time this season, I saw somebody check out of this season. The manager checked out. He said, I give up. He said, I give up. I do not care. I give up. Who cares? That's what he said. He said, I don't feel like it. He gave up. And you can talk about it being meaningless second inning of a meaningless baseball game. Yeah, they're all meaningless from here on out. It shouldn't be meaningless to the guy who's managing for his job.
This is where I want to go next. Is it meaningless, though? Because to me, I think the big question coming out of the weekend, having seen some of the Blue Jays games and still following the team, obviously, partially because of my job, but also out of my interest, are the Blue Jays more entertaining to you now? Now that they have... Yeah, okay. So why?
Because there's things that I'm learning about.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, even when it comes to Vlad, it's like, well, okay, what numbers can you actually finish with? Like, how close to 2021 can you get? And can you keep it rolling throughout? This has been happening since May, right? Like, I had an OPS over 900 since May.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every month has been like that, except for April, where he had a sub-700 OPS.
Yeah, it's crazy because when in this series against the Yankees, you and I have always made the case that, you know, he's not Juan Soto, he's not Aaron Judge, right? Mm-hmm. He's not one of those guys, but he's the next tier down. And watching that series, you felt like, nope, those
He's
three
right
guys
there.
Are all the same. Yeah.
He's 100% right there, right now.
Mm-hmm.
I have no problem saying that. He's an elite hitter. He's on that same level. Like, Aaron Judge is Barry Bonds right now. So it's like, it's hard to say that he's that level. But no, he's on that level. But yeah, secondarily to him, what is Addison Barger? Is he, can he replicate to any degree the power and on-base ability that he showed in Buffalo? Joey Loperfido, to a lesser extent, he struck out like 9 times in 5 games for the Blue Jays. What is he? Like,
I'm pretty sure, does he have, I think he has 1 extra base hit. And again,
it was only a triple. 20,
but it was also misplayed by the fielder.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you're learning about him. He still does have a small sample at the major league level.
He just looks like he has tons of holes in his swing. I would actually want you to hear on Blair and Barker to ask him, Barker, about like his approach at the dish and how possible it is or probable it is that he becomes a major leaguer. It just feels like there's so many areas where pitchers can get him out.
There's a reason why.
They just threw him in.
I mean, there's also that. But no, there's a reason why a lot of people, when they talk about prospects, talk about strikeout rate. Because it is projectable, right?
Yeah.
And it's why the Blue Jays have prioritized guys that make contact, which Will Wagner does, who's off to a hot start in Buffalo.
I can already tell, you're a Will Wagner guy.
Sure.
Yeah, you're Will. I know
don't
that
call
you're,
me Billy
yeah,
Wagner Jr. despite the fact that my name is Will Wagner.
You're clearly a Will Wagner guy. You're a Will Wagner truther. That's cool. I like that. I like that you're already buying stock, as everybody should. Everybody should buy yeah. stock in all the prospect or in any prospect you want. Yeah. That's kind of fun. You know who I bought a little stock in this week was De Los Santos.
That guy stinks.
No, dude, that one throw he made though.
Okay. Great.
Leaning. Whipping it, that's cannon for an arm. I went, wow, that's incredible.
He's like 26 years old and he has a career minor league OPS under 700.
Dude, remind me of Matt Chapman. I went, that's Matt Chapman level arm.
Sure.
You got a Matt Chapman arm. You got a Matt Chapman arm
okay.
in there. I'll
yeah,
watch you play.
Maybe you got Bradley Zimmer infield version.
Yeah, good. I love him. He made one beautiful throw and I went, that's one of my favorite
guess
plays
who's
this
like
season.
The first guy to go if Will Wagner gets called up.
I hope he doesn't. I want to see more De Los Santos at third base. I enjoyed him a lot. Okay, so... Yeah, I think they're more entertaining too. I made this case last week about how the Jays are watchable because of Vladdy right now. It doesn't even matter how bad they are, how horrific the bullpen is, how painful some of the John Schneider decisions are, you know, or if he's quitting on games or not. Watching this lineup after Vladdy, actually, I should say after Varsho, because even though Varsho's not having a great year at the plate, he's still fun to watch. And then you go into the... Just the, what is it, like Leo Jimenez and Stuart Baroa. And I will say, out of all the young guys that I am most interested in, I do think it's Barger.
Yeah. I mean, he's the guy that if you care about this Blue Jays team, you're rooting the most for because
I think he's like the highest upside.
Of course.
Guy of the dudes,
he does the thing that the Blue Jays need the most, which is hit home runs.
Yeah.
He's, I believe, got. Outside of Vlad, the next highest exit velocity. He's definitely the second fastest swing on this Blue Jays team. He's got the electric arm from both the outfield and third base if he's capable of playing that position. A couple of positions the Blue Jays need to backfill, right? It's left field, it's third base. You need another bat to DH, but I don't think a DH specific, and then a second catcher. But yeah, if he can play left field or third base capably, and I haven't seen enough of him as a third baseman to say definitively. In fact, there's been a couple of... not so great moments for him at that position, but the arm is legit, and he's shown an ability to take a walk.
He's got a bit of a swagger to him, too.
Yeah, like he's a fun player if he put it together, and I think a lot of people were off the scent with his first stint because it just didn't go very well. Although, like, at the beginning of that first foray into the major leagues, he hit some balls hard that were into gloves, but eventually he just, he was overmatched a little bit. And in his last six games, he's really put it together. A couple of home runs. He's getting on base. Like honestly, if you ask me today, it's like you got to play one game today in a game, Joey Loperfido or Addison Barger. It's no question for me.
Yeah,
it's
obvious. Yeah.
Like I'm more interested to see, like I know less about Addison Barger than I think I do about Loperfido.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, well, Loperfido has, I know it hasn't been in Toronto, but it's been a longer major league track record.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think that's fair. Anyway, yeah, I'm enjoying watching them more, too. The Vladdy thing is the main piece of it, but yeah, just getting to watch the young guys take ABs and feel like there's a direction now. Also, I got to tell you, too, with seeing this amount of positions that they need filled, right, we're seeing the roster this depleted, and I know you can go out and replace a Justin Turner DH, and you can grab another outfielder, like it grab another backup catcher, whatever. It's not the hardest things to backfill through free agency, even though the third base thing is kind of big and looming. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they could use a really, really, like they really need to fix the offense. It's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Part of me does look at this and go, how can these guys actually realistically tell themselves that they're going to try and really load up next year rather than continue to take that step back? Like I'm curious if these pitchers to add to like the level of intrigue, if these guys like Gausman and Berríos and Bassett can continue to pitch well down the stretch, whether or not that's actually going to up their trade value in the offseason, that there were some teams that actually didn't want to take on all that term, didn't want to take those guys for this playoff run because maybe they weren't sure about Kevin Gausman for, you know, 2+ years after this year if he wasn't looking great. Those guys do look awesome. Maybe during the offseason there is a team that goes, yeah, actually, we're willing to make a splashy trade for you for one of those arms. Whether the Blue Jays will take another step back before they take a step forward. Like, looking at this critically, how much there needs to... Like, look at this roster right now.
Yeah, no,
the bullpen and the batting and the lineup. It's just there's so many things to do.
I mean, the lineup in the last game of the Yankee series was Ernie outrageous. Clement, Joey Loperfido, Vlad, Spencer Horowitz hitting cleanup. With his like 405 slug. Dalton Varsho now back under the Mendoza line. Alejandro Kirk, Addison Barger, Davis Schneider, Luis de los Santos.
Have you sold your Davis Schneider stock, or are you still holding for him?
So
he hasn't hit a home run since July 22nd.
Yeah, it's been not so good.
Yeah.
I hear, here's my Davis Schneider take. Yeah. Like, it's not dissimilar to Kevin Biggio, where it's like he's rosterable. And I think.
But no, you was your guy.
Yeah, I said I wanted to see him every day.
Okay.
And absolutely I did. And eventually proven correct.
Yeah.
I didn't say he was going to be a multi-time MVP candidate.
I did think there was, remember that was that moment where it was, hey, the Davis Schneider player tees are the ones that are selling off the.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were like, oh. They can't keep the stock for Davis Schneider on the City Connect jerseys. Everybody else is theirs. I bet you if you were there and you had the choice between Davis Schneider and Vlad Jr., you would like that one back. You'd like that decision back.
Yeah, it's been a rough go, for sure. I'm at the point, though, where, like, it's Spencer Horowitz and some combination of Davis Schneider at second base. Like, that's fine. That's okay. But Spencer Horowitz getting the majority of the starts partly because he's left-handed and he's going to start against all the righties.
Okay, so the theme of this and why I asked you about the Judge thing to start is what's most entertaining.
You
asked
me a question and then you cut me off, though.
Which one?
I don't know, the Davis Schneider one.
Oh, well, you already gave your answer. You said, you were like, I was kind of right. I wanted to see him and I didn't really believe in him ever. I was like, yeah, okay, I got it. You did the classic Ben where it was like, I wasn't wrong. I didn't blow it.
I wasn't wrong.
Okay, sure. Anyway, some people would say that you were wrong when you were like, he's an all-star. He's the greatest player on earth. And I believe in him.
You need to roll back
that tape.
He's
so good and everybody's so stupid saying that he's not the greatest. And, you know, I mean, I could roll back like a million texts from you being like every time.
Oh, we're doing texts now.
Yeah, good thing. Anyway, so the theme of this today is, are the Blue Jays more entertaining?
Mm-hmm.
How much value do you put in entertainment in a lost season, especially one that has been not fun at all? There has been no fun this year. Is it more entertaining to let Joey Votto play?
Yeah, well, this is where I didn't know you were going, but where I was going to take it is, we're going to get a good indication from this Blue Jays front office how much they care about entertainment value.
Because
if he stays healthy, which is like obviously no guarantee, and if he keeps hitting, which also is no guarantee, but I think Joey Votto can, even though he didn't hit single-A pitching, like, I think he'll be fine. Like, I think he's going to probably hit in the International League if he stays healthy, which is a massive question mark.
Yeah, that's actually... if Joey Votto wants to play baseball, I would say he shouldn't play baseball.
Oh, yeah, you should take some time off. Like, you should play sparingly. Because, if he gets called up, it's going to be not going to be playing every day.
Does he really need to practice? You're 41.
Yeah, it's a good question. But he let it be known that he wanted to make sure he was in tip-top shape by going to the minor leagues. Like,
He
welcomed the minor league, like, because he didn't have spring training.
But this is the way you have to play it if you're him, right?
I guess that
you don't want to make it seem like you're just getting a job and you're stealing
even
from
though
someone.
They did that to Daniel Vogelbach, who, guess what? I called it was Daniel Vogelbach. You know where Daniel Vogelbach landed?
Mexico?
Nowhere.
Yeah.
Daniel Vogelbach's at home. He landed in front of his television watching Major League Baseball. No offense to the great Daniel Vogelbach and the great guy that he is.
This is actually one of the things where if I was an owner of a team, right?
Like,
and Daniel Vogelbach cost a couple million dollars.
Yeah.
Like, I worked hard for those millions of dollars. And if you, like, I George Springer, you know, I'm like, that sucks. But he was George Springer, and we got, like, a big media day out of it. And he had some great moments, and he was awesome. And he's a guy that I'm putting in my Uncrustables commercials. You know, TD, you need a guy. George Springer is still a guy. People know him. Knowing that you gave millions of my dollars away to Daniel Vogelbach.
He hit a home run.
And now he's like nowhere. That would eat me up. I'd be like, every single time I'd be out with the GM, I'd be having a drink. I'd be like, you owe me money for Daniel Vogel. You're paying for this dinner. I'm not paying for this dinner. You're paying for this dinner.
I mean, what's interesting about the Votto thing, too, is like, he's got to be paid a major league salary. I don't know what his contract.
I think there's something like he gets $1 million if he makes the team.
Okay.
But if he doesn't, he's making like a less.
Yeah. He signed a minor league deal. I don't know. And especially when Ross Atkin talked about how nip and tuck they are to get under the luxury tax line, which is important.
I know. I still am mad about that. It's like, why wouldn't you say? And also, go on.
The Votto thing, we're going to get an indication.
Because that matters, right? Like, what if What if Votto coming up here, if you're that tight against the cap, you found out that that put you over the CBT? Like, would you really? They probably wouldn't do it, though, if that was the case, right?
No,
there's no justifying it.
That would be insane, honestly, to do.
Yeah.
And as a Jays fan, if you were smart enough, I think you could realize how, yeah, that would impact future plans. Anyways.
But, yeah, so what's more entertaining, seeing a 41-year-old Joey Votto in the Blue Jays uniform for games or seeing young guys get their opportunities?
Both. There's no – if it was a question of, hey, are you going to call up Will Wagner or Joey Votto? Then, obviously, don't call up Joey Votto. Okay. I think you can do both. Again, your boy De Los Santos is on
there's
this
spots.
Team.
Yeah.
There's more than a few. Like, even some of the guys that have emerged as major league caliber, like Ernie Clement. Ernie Clement doesn't need to play every day. It's fine. Like, George Springer can have some days off. Like, it's fine. It's fine. Joey Votto can come up. So can Will Wagner, who's, like, the last guy that you need to see. Yeah. It's Will Wagner. It's Joey Votto. Both guys come up. And Joey Votto's not playing every day. The young guys are playing more often than Joey Votto. In fact, maybe you call Joey Votto up for the last month. You call him up for September and you say, Joey, we're going to give you a couple of starts a week.
Why do you have to why do you have to have that tone?
Joseph. Is it Joseph?
No, but this is very stern of you. Like, you went into dad
Josiah. We're going to give you a couple starts a week. When you hit your first home run, it's your last home run. That's how you're going out. When you hit that home run, no matter what the circumstance is, we're going to sub you in on defense, lose our DH, and then we're going to sub you out in that same half inning, and you're going to get to wave to the crowd, and you're going to you're going to get your storybook send off.
Yeah, I actually think that he's deserved that.
100%.
He should get that.
In the before times when I thought Kevin Kiermaier, and rightly so because he was exposed to waivers and nobody had any inkling of picking him up, when I thought he was going to be a Blue Jay and end his career as a Blue Jay, I was like, that's one of the things I'm looking forward to the most in September is Kevin Kiermaier's final game. Does it come in the trough because they have another series against the Rays? How do they handle this? They have that now, except it's with an actual Hall of Famer who has some connection to this franchise as opposed to the guy that had a great year last year.
Oh, sorry. You're saying
Kiermaier had a barely. Yeah. No, I'm saying Votto has a connection.
Okay, I actually think that it's important for Votto to retire and have that moment with the Jays to actually have more connection with this fan base. I've made this point to you before that him being in the National League, it was like, hey, do you know Joey Votto exists? For sure. Have you ever seen him play? No.
Yeah.
You know? Did you ever watch Joey Votto in a meaningful moment? No, I never watched Joey Votto.
Hit a home run off Jake Peavy of the World Baseball Classic.
Yeah, I'm saying that in terms of the actual amount that this guy has played sports and the greatness of his athleticism, he's got to be the modern-day least seen great athlete ever. Like, you see Shea Gilgeous-Alexander play for the Thunder. You watch those playoff games.
Yeah.
You get to see it. You've seen
that's
every
game. That's a national sport.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
With this baseball, is a regional
yes,
sport.
Yes, exactly. With Joey Votto, nobody saw him play baseball other than hardcore fans. And even the ones that are like the Hughes and the Blake Murphys who love Joey Votto, Jay's games were against the Reds games. You weren't watching as much of this as
highlights and baseball reference pages.
Which is fine.
And like the Reds were no good also.
Yeah, that's exactly. So, no. Joey Votto's career, I think, is very I don't think underrated, but
he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
He's kind of fringy, right?
No.
No?
I don't think there's any question. He's not a first ballot guy.
Yeah.
But he's going to the Hall of Fame.
Either way, I don't think that Blue Jays fans have real connection to Joey Votto.
You gave a good indication of how underrated he is because I think he's a slam dunk Hall of Famer.
I thought he was more of like a fringy candidate. But anyways, I don't think that Jays fans, when he's come here before and when he was doing the like half retirement tour last year, I remember talking to you about this. Like, I don't think fans here care about him as much as you would think Toronto fans would care about a guy who's like a genuine Toronto guy.
Etobicoke.
Yeah.
Like, lives here in the offseason.
I know Kelly Olynyk did, you know, have his time in Toronto as well, you know, his family, but he's like a BC guy too. It's like, but here, like people care about Kelly Olynyk. We're like, oh, Kelly Olynyk, we really, really deeply care. It's not the same with Joey Votto. If he has a moment with the Jays at the end where he has a couple of at-bats, you get to go to those Joey Votto games, you get to give him the send-off. I think that actually really helps his image and his the way he's remembered in the
city. And if at the end of the season you can have one extra highlight that helps mask the stench of the 2024 season, like in like the end of season wrap up, and like somebody puts together a highlight tape, I don't know why you would, of this season, and you can maybe start that tape with the Joey Votto home run in his final game and tipping his cap to the Blue Jays faithful. Like, that's, that helps everybody.
Yeah,
I think.
Him crying and being like, then you, there's nothing we love more than people who like care about us.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So insecure.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Of course. Yeah. It's the most insecure city ever.
Yeah.
It's, well, actually, sorry,
part of it is justified because like there's a lot of the city, especially traffic wise and infrastructure wise.
Oh yeah. We
ideal.
Know, but that's the thing is we can call it a dump when we live here. Oh,
okay.
Or we can say we can call out the things that make it a tough hang. But when other people do it, like if Skip Bayless is like, no one wants to play for the Raptors. We're like, yes, they do. Yes, they do, Skip. They want to play here. Okay. I got one more baseball thing for you, but let's do it on the other side of the break. 21 losses in a row, I think, because I'm pretty sure they lost last night.
They did.
They were down 3-1.
Oh, you didn't stay up for A's, no, White Sox?
But I did see they were down 3-1, and I went, I think they probably aren't coming back. I think they're done. 21 losses in a row. How can we avoid this without the pipe dream of relegation? Next.
Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, Venez is here. It's a good hour. It's Tuesday for everybody out there. It's Tuesday. If you're confused.
Okay, yeah. Good job.
It's a PSA for Achi. Damn it. There's people listening to this podcast right now, and it's Wednesday. Because a lot of people
it's Tuesday.
Like, whoa, it's Tuesday.
People are going to show up for work on Saturday thinking
but
it's Friday.
But that's the thing, though. It would really make sense to them that it was Tuesday because it's the second day of their work week.
Okay, now you got my brain in a vice.
Now you see what I'm saying? Like, all the times to say it's Tuesday, if you're listening to this pod and it's Wednesday, it's tomorrow, you're putting a pretzel. That was a tough one for you. Because it was your second day at work, so it makes sense it's Tuesday.
Yeah.
It was easy to trick you.
Yeah, yeah. Feels like a Monday. It's Tuesday that feels like a Monday.
Yeah, sure does. Feels like a real drag of a Monday.
It's raining out there. Was it raining when you came in?
Yeah, it was a little light drizzle. Mm-hmm. Nothing major.
That's right.
It was so hot this last week that it's nice to feel like a little bit of reprieve. Anyway, what's not hot is the Chicago White Sox, who have lost 20 games in a row.
Really good. 21.
Yeah, sorry, 21 games.
There's 61 games under 500.
Mike Jose loves that. 21. Can you do something for me? You love that so much, dude. Yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, we're never going to have relegation. Sports fans bring this up from time to time in North America where they're like, wouldn't it be cool? And you're like, yeah, kind of, but not really. I don't want to lose my... I'm a North American sports fan. It would kind of suck if one year your team was gone from pro sports. Not a huge fan of that. Don't really need the, like, Lake Erie Monsters playing in the NHL for a season.
I mean, it would add so many... There's a reason why that's, like, the most anticipated games of the season, those... The promotion one-off matches and the ones to avoid relegation, because there's so much on the line. There's a year, probably more, because you lose so much money and all your players are like, get me the hell out of here. Yeah, I don't want any part of this.
I will say this, though. So as a fantasy football commissioner, as someone who actually can relate to other commissioners of leagues and how you run them, when we first started giving our booby prize, our loser prize, because we tried to make it so that at the end of the year, you would not... check out on the league. Because there's nothing more infuriating than when you have playoff spots on the line and someone is like forgetting to set their roster and then people have to like text that person to go and set it, but they're not even really paying attention to it. And so it just sucks because the league becomes only a few people in it. We have a keeper league, which is supposed to incentivize, you know, staying focused on this because you want to be active on the waiver wire and all that different stuff. But even then it doesn't work. People check out. People check out year over year. We've tried upping the money, doing a thing. We tried to do a booby prize. We were like, if it's last place, these are the punishments. Mm-hmm. And the first year we went too far.
What was it?
I'm not saying, but it was just that we went too far.
Have you told me this? Do I know this?
I don't think so. But either way, it was just that it didn't work. It was like, oh, wow, this is too far. And then we didn't end up making the person do the thing.
Oh.
Yeah. And so it just kind of lost its luster and... Then it kind of spun out. Now we don't have the loser prize. We have other punishments for you. If you don't set your roster, we charge you like financially where we'll go, this goes into the pot for next season if you don't set it.
That's a good one.
Yeah, it's all right. But we kind of missed the funness of the booby prize because we didn't nail it down. And I really did think about this. 21 losses in a row. They're like 30 games under 500. They're
61 games under 500.
Oh, 61. Sorry. Yeah. Oh, my God. Anyway, that's actually too bad. You can't be allowed to be that bad, and you can't be allowed to be that bad for this long. And so there's a luxury tax for teams that spend over and get punished for actually trying to compete. I think there's got to be something in sports. There's got to be something now in these leagues where there's parity, now in leagues where you can get away with this because sports fans like you and I and so many others are comfortable with tanks, right? Raptors suck and you go, tank, tank, tank. We want you to lose. We want you to lose all the games. You can do this repeatedly now and beat a fan base down. Like for the Charlotte Hornets, who are year whatever. And I know you mentioned to me yesterday, like the NHL has the rule where you can't win the first overall pick. And
I've got bad news for you because Major League Baseball has a better rule than that.
What is it?
Actually in place.
What is it?
The White Sox can draft no higher than 10th next season.
For what?
In the Major League Baseball.
But what was the marker for that?
They were in the lottery last year. You cannot be in the lottery two consecutive years if you're not a team receiving sharing.
I like that.
So that is the pun. The answer is what? I mean, baseball isn't at the forefront of a lot of things, but they're at the forefront of this. And it was one of the major, you'll go back.
I think that actually kind of tells you more about, though, how not inconsequential. Like there are Paul Skeenses out there.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of like Dustin Ackleys too.
Sure. You'd rather draft first than 10th.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no. That's a huge punishment.
You would.
Have this season and have like no secondary goal. Like it does nothing for your team.
Yeah.
Does nothing. Not one thing. Because you can't draft. It doesn't help your draft pick compensation. Doesn't help anything. It, in fact, you could have finished where the Blue Jays finish and end up with the same. Like, the Blue Jays are going to end up with a better draft pick than the Chicago White Sox, probably.
Nice.
Which is unbelievable. What greater incentive do you need than that to not be as bad as the White Sox are? That's the thing.
Money.
That's what's insane about this White Sox season is they're bad, and a lot of people predicted them to be bad. Nobody thought they would be this bad, including the White Sox themselves, because they knew that this was not a season in which they could tank. They couldn't be in the lottery back-to-back seasons, which makes, and also look at the parity around baseball in the American League as well.
I hear what you're saying, and yes, there's a high value to it. My only point there in terms of the draft picks is that this isn't the NBA. Like, if that happened in the NBA, you're like, holy crap, we need to fix this immediately. Like, you could never have the Charlotte Hornets go, wait, so we finished last, and now this year we can't pick in the top 10 in the NBA draft. It would actually, like, cripple your franchise.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't recover from it. Baseball, even when you pick, in the top five, what was the Jays pick? When did they take Niemela?
Austin Martin was, Niemela?
Yeah. What pick was he? Anyway.
Sorry. But
you're right. Austin Martin was a top pick and he made it to the majors in what, 2 years?
Sorry, who?
Austin Martin made it in 2 years and he was a top five pick.
He's playing regularly now.
Yes. And he's the eighth hitter for the Twins.
He was the fifth overall selection.
So even then, you're not expecting that rookie. Like, you get more reprieve in baseball because there's basically no expectation ever of your first-round pick to be on the team the following year. Mm-hmm. Even 2 years is fast, where you're like, wow, this guy's here 2 years from now? That's pretty incredible. They genuinely have to be Skeens or Strasburg.
Well, I mean, the Blue Jays could see their first-round pick, Yasevich, be in the rotation, in the mix for a major league spot next season.
Yeah, you could. And it was the same story with Manoah when they got him, when they got, like, the five or the four-year college guy or whatever.
It was same with Stroman.
Yep, there are cases of it. What I'm saying is the pressure to see that pick and the fan base actual connection to a pick with baseball in comparison to the other sports is astronomically different.
Yeah.
Like an NFL first round pick is a starter for you day one.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you draft an NFL first round pick and he does not start for you in training camp, it's the biggest story at a training camp. Like, wow, it's already a bust. We already blew it. NBA, you're not in the rotation. Well, look what happened with Grady Dick last year. It was the 13th pick. He didn't play. He had to go down to the G League. We were tearing our hair out. Baseball, it could be 4 years from now, and they're like, the first round pick is arriving. And you're like, oh, nice. Good to see you. I've seen your name on a list a bunch of times. That's all I really know about you. So penalizing that team that way, I don't think actually does have the same consequence in terms of fan pressure. Like, I didn't even know about that rule. Yeah. I think that just like my booby prize that I mentioned, you got to hit these guys financially because the price of the asset you have never goes down.
Yeah.
You can always sell it and make a buttload of cash. So it doesn't matter what you're, spending on your roster or what this is doing. It's always worth so much money. I think you need to kind of hit these owners in the moment where you say, no, you're actually punished for this. You finish this many games below 500, this is the rate. It goes in tiers. Okay, you finish the season, and I only think it should be drastic. Like, if you finish 10 games below 500, I don't think that you should be punished financially. But if you get into 20, 100-plus 30...
losses. They lost 101 last year. They're going to lose 130.
That's what I'm saying. If you hit 100 losses, they should ding you massively.
Yeah, I can see the argument for it. I would actually counter that with... I mean, if you're going to be bad, be this bad. This is actually way more entertaining than them losing 101 games. Like,
there's no way that a White Sox fan's having fun right now. 21 losses in a row.
They're so not, but aren't you more interested to see whether your team loses now than you would have been in the middle of the season? Like, I think, and I don't know if you watch any of the broadcasters.
Especially if you don't think that you're in on the draft pick. Like, the one thing about the Blue Jays season with the losses where I fist pump is I go, nice, they're a lottery odds.
You want everybody to be fired. But yeah, and that's going to happen either way. I'm now been ingesting some of the White Sox broadcaster comments, like post-game. Frank Thomas is on that thing. Again, Frank Thomas had to correct the host. He's like, and there are 40 games. He's like, there are 60 games under 500. I think when you get to the point that the White Sox are at, the freakish nature of their season, and they're going to set maybe the consecutive losses record and maybe the all-time total losses record in Major League Baseball as a one-off. Like, if they were doing this every single season, that is like, then you're talking about like maybe stepping in and changing owners.
I know, but I feel like the Oakland A's did that and they completely got away with it the worst way.
But not to this degree. Like, no, even the A's this year are like not,
I know it's not to this degree, but I think the A's one is the most depressing one in sports where you literally Major League Baseballed your team. Yeah. And I don't mean that in the sense of you were a Major League Baseball team. I mean that in the movie where you cut the payroll down, you destroyed the fan base so that you could move the team to a different city.
I mean, there's nothing more egregious than the Expos who Major League Baseball took ownership of and then ran into the ground like that just to move them to Washington. Yeah. So there's been way more egregious examples of this. I mean,
where they had a team close.
You know, what's interesting to think about is like the Jerry Reinsdorf of it all. Like, he obviously takes advantage of the Jordan era Bulls. They've been under 500 since then, right?
Yeah.
The White Sox had the one World Series in 2005. But outside of that, they've made the playoffs consecutively since then.
Yeah.
Like, underratedly, because he climbed the top of the mountain.
The teep of the mountain.
In 2005 with one of the best starting staffs.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh, my God. Everybody went, like, complete game.
That was a very memorable run over the Astros.
It was a crappy World Series because I think they swept them. Yep. But, yeah, because of that World Series and because you ended up with the greatest player of all time by circumstance, you're not viewed as one of the worst owner in pro sports. But, yeah, you take Jordan out of the mix, Jerry Reinsdorf, scarily like close to the tippy top.
Yeah, it's a nightmare one. But then again, you go, how many rings do you have? And he's like, you're one of the worst. He's like, with my 7 championships that I gave the city, and you're like,
yeah, scoreboard.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Yeah, he's like, what did Michael Jordan do with the Hornets? Because he's so great, and he had the Wizards series. Yeah. Both those teams, he must have so many championships.
Yeah,
must have so many. Anyway, I feel sick for their fans. Like, that's just. I there's got to be some kind of a give back. Either the league goes, you're not allowed to raise ticket prices, period. Like, ticket prices cannot go up.
The market probably will not allow them to raise ticket prices.
You say that, but you know as well as I do, that's not always the case. Like, that is not always the case. And I hate the idea of them just getting away with that outside of people going, well, I'm not going to support the team next year, because every sports fan knows they win 10 games. You're back in that stadium. Mm-hmm. You're with a friend and you're like, you want to catch up at the ballpark tonight? Yeah, sure. I don't care. I just want to go down to the ballpark. So no, I think that there's got to be more repercussion than just shame, because no one cares. Like, no one's going to shame you into doing something. Like, you lose 21 in a row.
I think the best you can do, though, is not incentivize losing, because that's what we do in North American pro sports is we do the tank culture. And we've tried to mitigate it with lotteries, and that has worked to varying degrees, but not really. Like, you still want the most ping pong balls. Honestly, baseball's ahead of the game. And you're right, it's not the same, but telling somebody you cannot participate in the lottery 2 consecutive years,
I know,
if you're not a team collecting revenue sharing.
I just don't think that would work in other leagues. Like, you still need to be able to sell hope, right? And as much as nobody wants to hear this, like, if you're a Toronto Raptors fan, the only hope you really have is through lottery balls or Kawhi Leonard wants to go to Los Angeles, and
they say
the Spurs say we'd rather take a worse trade package than send you to Los Angeles to the Lakers team. Like a perfect scenario has to break for you, or you need to draft Giannis Antetokounmpo. You know, like you, that's it. So taking away the draft lottery balls, like imagine how horrible it would feel if the NBA did take away incentivized tanking, and you had, like the Boston Celtics win the championship this year, and then they win the first overall pick in the draft in a Wembanyama year. Like you got to fold the league.
Yeah,
like you can't.
That would be.
It's
tough.
Over. You know. That's so. I don't know what the stipulations would have to be. Maybe you win the championship. You can't win the first, but then you know. I don't know, but. I get you. I'm following the idea of de-incentivizing the full tank, and they've tried to do that with the lottery odds. Mm-hmm. But even as fans, all we still now care about is just get the highest lottery odds.
Because that's what you should root for.
Yeah, we still want more ping pong balls. I'd still rather have that than the winning. Like, I'd rather that than be in the middle.
And I follow baseball. I was watching the CBA negotiations when we almost lost a whole another season. This is kind of brand new territory for me. The fact that it only exists for teams that don't receive revenue sharing is weird too. So like if this was the Twins that were doing this multiple seasons in a row, they would still get their own lottery picks because they collect revenue sharing. It's because the White Sox play in Chicago, play in a big market, that they're not allowed to draft inside the top 10. They're not allowed
to be part of it.
That
already makes it too confusing to me where I got to look that up as a fan. Like, hey, are we collecting revenue sharing? Oh, hey. Hey, Mike. Are we... this is big because if we're not collecting revenue share this year... Like, no, it's crazy. Like, it's just... it's impossible
to track
that.
Secondary element to this, too. It's like, okay, you want to spend? You want to do a quick fix in free agency? Mm. Like, all things being equal, who's choosing the White Sox over anybody? I mean, there's so many things that happen organically with a team as bad as the White Sox that I don't know if you need to necessarily throw more rules into the mix.
Oh, okay. Anyways, we only got a couple minutes here, but Mike Jose, what did we miss?
All right, so the Americans have been a little surprised from the Olympics so far because they went there and discovered that they couldn't get booze at events. There's a 1991 French law that limits the sale of alcohol and tobacco at large events. So they can only do 10 events per year where they can sell booze. And the Olympics has more than 700 events.
Okay.
You can't buy booze.
I guess I never realized that.
Yeah, well, obviously I didn't realize that. But I can't imagine being in that heat watching like the volleyball, the beach volleyball, and not having like a little... cocktail.
Well, and also like some of these events are
long,
right? Like if you buy a ticket for athletics for the day, aren't you there for like 5 hours?
But I will say that most of them I'm like I can't imagine being at the pool events watching swimming and being like, yeah, beer, like you're gonna miss the thing. It's 2 seconds. Like you can't be in the beer line. I think of all the sports, it's like, I don't know. Most of the Olympic events, I don't really feel like you gotta have a drink. I think that because I'm equating the sand of the beach volleyball court going like, oh, I'm outside. Like, I'd like to have a nice cold beer. I'd like it there. But, like, do you need a beer if you're watching the skateboarding? Do you need it? Like, I don't know. I don't feel like there are a lot of boozy sports. Are you going to have a drink while you watch fencing?
I mean, in basketball.
Yeah, that one's kind of familiar to us. But if you're France, you're not using all 10 of those things on soccer.
You know, Europe is so weird with booze because, like,
that's an all-time weird one, though.
Yeah, like, it's like they're obviously very liberal about public spaces.
Like, you're a big liberal
you
city.
You go into a park in Paris, no problem. Crack open a nice cold beer. Go into an Olympic venue to watch a sporting event, and you can't open a beer. That one is a little confusing. Isn't the Premier League... aren't you not allowed to drink beer in any of the Premier League stadiums as well?
Is that true? But that makes sense because the hooligans.
Yeah.
Like, we can't give these people booze. They're animals.
And I've never been to March Madness, but...
No, same thing.
Yeah. Right? So it's not
That's
totally
a tough one.
Unheard of. I think it's more like these amateur sports, feels like.
Still, I do think that if you traveled over there and you were at the beach volleyball, and you're like, I'd like to go get a nice, delicious Bud Light.
That's the toughest
one. They said... there will be no sale of alcohol here today. You'd be sitting there in the heat going with your water, like, this sucks. I came all the way here. I wish someone told me before I left. Anyway, subscribe to the podcast. Follow on Twitter and Instagram @JD Buckus. Reach out anytime, and we'll see you tomorrow.